Well, we're back. Now, as I just mentioned, on the other hand, this is out of Dorno's book, Authoritarian Personality. On the other hand, Christianity, as the religion of the Son, contains an implicit antagonism against the religion of the Father and its surviving witnesses, the Jews. Now, he took a spiritual issue and he made it a race issue. And what he did not understand was the Apostle Paul in Romans explains what's going on. Is that through the Jews, who when God told Abram to go mark territory, he created a culture. And that culture, the Jewish culture, we get the law and we get the Son of God from. And so Jesus did not negate the law. Remember, he had a problem with the scribes and Pharisees. He says, you have put yourself in Moses' seat, but you hate Moses. And in fact, the reason you hate Moses is because you hate the law. You love to respect men, but every time you present that law, you even hate the law. Because every time you look at it, it says, you're wicked. You're wicked. You know, and there's a part of you wants to be like God. You want to be able to evaluate. Because if you can evaluate if with the pride of life, what is pride of life? Pride of life is people turn to you and you have answers. And they go, wow, you're great. You know, if people kept telling you all day long, wouldn't that be great? Just spend the day, everybody's just wave at you and say, wow, you're awesome, you're great. You are the great, and really mean it. I mean, you talk about a big head, at the end of the day, you couldn't carry it around with you. And so that's what they love the kudos from man. They love self-esteem. That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination with God. But he said, you hate the law. And so you go in and change it. You make it user-friendly. And then you make sure they get paid. You know, you're raking in the dough. And so you're actually leaving God's law out because you're substituting your own conditions, the doctrines of men. And by the way, if you had loved God's law, that would mean that every time you looked at it, you saw how wicked you were and you realized the wrath of God was upon you, then you would be looking for somebody to rescue you from the wrath of God. And you would be looking for me. Because the law says this is God. This is, if you want to be God, if you want to be an evaluator, you know, God said, it is good, it is good, it is good. Notice that Eve became like God, it is good, it is good, it is good. But she rejected God's law. Thou shalt not. And so we can't fulfill God's law because whenever we evaluate, we'll go to the flesh. We'll look in the environment, what's stimulated pleasure. We'll look in the environment, what created the pain so we can avoid it, fight it or avoid it, or approach it for pleasure. And that's the law of the flesh. And you can't escape that on your own. It's only a work of God. And so Jesus said, you know, I have come and you hate me. In fact, he says, they don't hate you. They hate me. Why? Because he brings the law. Well, wait a minute. Jesus got rid of the law. No, he fulfilled the law. Do we live under the law? No, the law is now within you. So when you look at the law, it's his love and his grace and his mercy. That's his law. God's love and his law are together. If Christ in you means the law is in you. See? But what's he saying? He's saying, no, there's an enemy. The Son became the enemy of the Father. And therefore, the Jews tied to the Father. The Son now is to the Gentiles, and therein we have a race issue. And Paul says, no, it's not a race issue. What Jesus fulfilled the law, when he fulfilled it, it's both to the Jew and to the Gentile. It is spiritual. It restores man to the right relationship with God. But they don't understand it because they're looking at it through dialectic eyes. They cannot see it. They have eyes and cannot see and ears and cannot hear. Why? They build on Marx. Marx said we have to have human eyes and human ears. We have to have fleshy eyes and fleshy ears. And we evaluate everything through our same process that Satan got Eve to, through our perception. Through how we feel and what we think and how we think. Now, Dorno continues in his book, Authoritarian Personality. The task of fascist propaganda is rendered easier to the degree that anti-democratic potentials already exist in the great masses of people. Now, what's he saying is, because of the traditional homes out there teaching children to respect their elders, that the potential for fascist propaganda, in other words, the commercials out there is honor government, trust government. No, that's not what the government, by the word of God doesn't say trust government. So you take every captive, every thought to the obedience of Christ, call no man father. There's only one heavenly father. But does that mean you get rid of government? No. No. Romans, the 13th chapter, and I cover this in length in one of my articles. It's in either civil disobedience or in identification of paradigms in an article. And I have some, James Borchard has an excellent audio presentation on my website, authorityresearch.com, on authority. And there's authority under God. But see, when we reject God, what do we have? We have man's authority. And therein we have all this socialist garbage to depend upon, to turn to. Or one man dictator or a group of men. Now, continuing. And again, I'm just trying to cover so you understand what's happened to our education system and via education, all of our society. He says, an attitude of complete submissiveness, this is Theodore Adorno, toward a supernatural forces, he puts that in quotes, supernatural forces, above nature forces. When God told Adam, don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that was a supernatural force because the natural forces would say there's nothing wrong with a tree. And there was nothing wrong with the tree. The issue now was spiritual. When God said, cannot eat of that tree, it was spiritual. When they look at the tree without God and through Satan's eyes, through their eyes, he had to help them do that, then there was natural forces and supernatural was gone. So he says, an attitude of complete submissiveness, obeying parents, towards supernatural forces and a readiness to accept the essential incomprehensibility of many important things strongly suggests the persistence in the individual of infantile attitude towards a parent. Wait a minute, we went from supernatural forces to the parent? Yes. Do you realize when a parent tells a child to do something, the child cannot experientially or, you know, mentally comprehend that is a supernatural force? The child in his nature cannot comprehend it, so it's above his nature. See the system? That's what these guys understood, the Frankfurt School, these transformational Marxists, and they said, okay, that system is right there in the home. Whenever a parent gives a command to a child, the child cannot experientially comprehend and then chastens the child, they're giving that child a structure that God works through, and we've got to stop the system. We've got to stop the structure. We've got to prevent that experience or undo that experience so that we can deliver man from God. Grasp this. When you're told something as a child that you can't comprehend, and you get to a certain age where you have your own children, and you hear words coming out of your mouth like, now I understand. That's revelation. It just dawned on you what your parents were telling you at the age of 5 you could never comprehend. That's revelation. These guys knew how to secularize it and say, okay, we have to make sure that parents aren't telling children right and wrong that's beyond their nature and producing a respect for supernatural, i.e. respect for their office. Dad and mom aren't perfect, but that office is. The dialectical process is all about the destruction of that office. If you destroy the office, you literally prevent the next generation from comprehending right, wrong, black, white, sheep, goats, heaven, hell, above, below. Everything they comprehend is how they feel and what they think. As Rogers said, before we get a hold of your child, they're thinking, what will my parents say? You know, i.e., what would God say? Before I get you into the group hug, the church group, how do you feel, what do you think, so-called Bible study, if you came in having known the Lord, you'd be thinking, what would the Lord say? But then in the process, what Rogers says, in therapy, because they call it therapy for normals, you begin to say, what does it mean to me? See, is God's word relevant to me? Is God's word contemporary? Is God's word workable in the flesh? Is God's work workable in the lust of the eyes? Is God's work workable in the pride of life? And if it's not, then it's worthless. It's irrelevant. It might be okay tomorrow, but today it's not relevant in this situation because everything is, these people who come in and say, oh no, this is what God's word says. It's like the parent, essential incomprehensibility. People can't comprehend it, of many important things. I'm sure people accuse me of this. I get excited about certain things that come in and say, folks, you need to wake up. There's an enemy coming over the hill, and they look up over the hill, they look up the hill and they say, we don't see anything. It's incomprehensible. It's like Eve looking at the tree. I don't see anything wrong with the tree. It's good for food, pleasing the eyes, desirous to make one rise. There's nothing wrong with the tree. She didn't look over the hill. Over the hill, there's God coming. She changed her paradigm. And see, this is all about how to destroy the paradigm. And you destroy the paradigm, you destroy the soul. Because the issue is no longer the soul. The law is perfect, converting the soul. The law of the parent deals with the soul. In other words, there is right and there is wrong. Chastening produces a peaceful fruit of righteousness. It's grievous for a season. Why? It's getting hold of the flesh. You're in love with the flesh. It gets you off the flesh. Again, I have to keep saying this. Dad and mom aren't perfect. Our Heavenly Father is. That's why Jesus said, call no man father on earth. Now, you call your dad father. But it's the understanding that he's not perfect, but your Heavenly Father is perfect. And when it comes to a choice, you go with your Heavenly Father, not man. Now, so he's going after, and he look at the derogative. This is the attitude that you get today, even in the church. This people who come in, they're supernatural forces, quote, essential, incomprehensible. Many important things are just all stirred up about doing things right. Suggests that the persistence in the individual, if you adhere to this, of infantile attitudes. You've got an infantile attitude towards God. Jesus had an infantile attitude towards his Father. What my Father commands, that's what I do. That's an infantile attitude. I'm serious, folks. This is the foundation. If you're in a church growth, emergent church, if you're into that process, and someone comes in and opens up the Word of God and says, we're going to study the Word of God, boy, they have an infantile attitude. Man, I just don't think he's hurting everybody's feelings in the room. Now, he just insists on his way. No, it's not his way. It's what God says. That is to say, he says, of authoritarian submission in a very pure form. Wow. You don't think these guys, this man can't think of this. So if you obey God, Jesus is coming back for a spotless, pure bride. He's coming back for Jesus is coming back for his bride who is authoritarian submission. I mean, she is under him. Her whole desire is to him in a very pure form. And the world would say, oh, you're such an infantile attitude. You have just an infantile attitude towards God. Because see, even Jesus doesn't know the day when the Father will turn to him and say, go get your bride. I mean, we're talking total submission to the Father. To the Heavenly Father. Jesus didn't love you. And now don't get this wrong. Jesus didn't love you. He loved the Father. It's the Father who loves you. The Father sent the Son. The Father sends the bride. There's a Son to get the bride. The Father sent the Holy Spirit. The Father who says, do what I tell you to do. Jesus, the night before the cross, he says, nevertheless, thy will be done. That's the gospel. That's the Word of God. And it's not preached today. It's not taught today because the so-called church out there is going heresiarchical. How do you feel and what do you think? And selling the drugs of the world. The dopamine. Fill the church full of dopamine. They'll keep coming back for the drug. You push drugs. You just give it free out there for a while before people, people are just, they can't wait to find you down there at the street corner giving them more. And of course, they got to start paying after a while. And they'll just love to pay because they can't wait to get some more pleasures from this life. Can't wait to go to church and leave and say, oh, what a wonderful worship service to worship the experience. Come experience God. You know what that is? You went and you were God. You just had this dopamine euphoric moment. And you did it in a group that even high, that's a big upper. And before long, you're talking about come down to my church. Look at that big building down there. And boy, we got a great speaker and we got all this and we got all that. And before long, you're not talking about Jesus. You're not talking about, you're not speaking the word of God. The law is perfect, converting the soul. You're not speaking the law so a person is under contrition because, man, they might not like hearing what you have to say. or what God has to say. No, in all your ways acknowledge him. Not today. Oh, we'll acknowledge. We'll just say, well, there's a God out there, and we're serving him, and we're doing some great things in Jesus' name. Does he know you? Did he send you? Is he the author of what you're doing? Or are you just doing it like the scribes and Pharisees because you like to respect men? You got to make sure you have enough flesh in there so people will respect you. Authoritarian submission, Adorno writes, was conceived of as a very general attitude that would be evoked in relation to a variety of authority figures. So this obedience to higher authority, you learned as a child to your parents. And again, dad and mom aren't perfect, and they may be rotten. Yeah, I've met people who've come to the Lord under some very horrendous home environments. But they thank God because there was some right and wrong. There was that structure, that patriarchal structure. Now you're going to have child protective services coming in, making sure that the parents dialogue with the children and take their soul. They'll leave the body. They can use the body, as you'll see later on. Adorno is all about, we've got to create these healthy workers. Because in the past, the workers were loyal to God. The worker doing your best to the glory of God, doing your best to the boss, And they were producing out there, but they were under one person. We got to make sure now they work, even voluntarily, for the group, for the village, for the commune, for communism. See, and you got to start early. See, you got to process them, get them in groups and go. The MIR in the Soviet, before, Lenin came out of the MIR system. What, you had all these pieces of land out there, and it was absolutely, you might have one row that was a quarter mile long, and it was just one strip. That's all you, and it was equality. Everybody had equal part of that land. If you had 100 people, they all had equal strips, and so you'd spend all day walking from one strip to the other because it was all about equality. It didn't produce. But they all got together and had their sessions of how you feel, what do you think? You think this stuff is new? I'd like to actually do a study. I'd gone through some of this in training, but it's been a long time. But this is not new. It's been practiced. These guys aren't original. They just were knowing how to work it into cultures. That takes some effort. But anyway, it's a contempt. A contempt for God. I call Bloom's taxonomy secularized Satanism. The very pattern, as I went through last week, knowing you're told you can't go out, comprehend it. And a parent looks you in the eye. Do you understand what I just said? The application, you might go out. The analysis is as you're being chastened, you go, well, I better pay attention to right and wrong. But you see, if somebody can come in and intercept that, give you an experiential chasm where you won't be chastened, but you can actually think about what you want to do, then that's synthesis. See, synthesis is you got to do what Eve did at the garden. That's synthesis. You got to incorporate your feelings and other people's feelings, and you got to incorporate the world into the decision. You got to do Genesis 3:1 through 6. That's synthesis. You go down to the public school and you can have synthesis on rocks and plants and animals, or the Christian school and do synthesis on rocks and plants and animals, and you'll find the laws of nature. They'll tell you this is right and that's wrong. But you do synthesis on man, you're going to have lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. And there's Theodore Adorno sitting in the class going, applauding. Great teacher, great students. Let's all sell our souls to the global cause. We just got rid of the greatest, as one author said, God is the anthropological source of alienation. We got rid of the great alienator. He alienated Adam and Eve from the nature, from the tree, everything. We got to have cosmic oneness, and God's the great divider. And so authoritarian submission was conceived as a very general attitude that would be evoked in a variety of authority figures, and here's the list. Parents, older people. As Irving Yalom said, this is the first generation that has nothing to learn from its grandparents. Leaders. Oh, these great statesmen of the past. We got to mock them. Supernatural power. See, there it is, tied the parent to supernatural power and so forth. It is a well-known hypothesis. The susceptibility to fascism is most characteristic of middle-class phenomena. We covered this last time. That it is in the culture. Now, if it's in the culture, then why are you fighting it? If it's part of man, then why are you fighting it? Well, Freud considered a culture that had rules that interfered with spontaneity and freedom. Freedom to do whatever you feel like doing, was neurosis. And his whole, in fact, Irvin Yalom said, you can sum up with Freud with two words, incest and patricide. You got to kill the father so you can get back to incest. So there's something in the culture. What is it? It's the family. You got to make sure the village gets into the family. The family is now under the control of the community. Do you realize, Warren Bennis writes about this, the moment that any unit outside of the family that's not family-based that comes in to help the family will destroy it. You bring the community in the family, it automatically destroys the family. Automatically. Now, this is powerful stuff, folks. It doesn't take much to do. A little leaven leavens a whole lump. And he says, and hence, that those who conform the most to this culture will be the most prejudiced. Well, God is the most prejudiced of all. On the day of judgment, you're going to meet prejudice. Preset standards. It doesn't matter how you feel or what you think. You can have all the opinions you want. Your opinion does not count. It's what God says. This is, you know, Satan was cast out on the earth, and he knows his days are limited. He's doing what he can. He's bringing the whole world in. And this, see, this ties to, as I've shown you, this ties to nationalism, this ties to your property rights, this ties to your the right of the parent. Now it's no longer the right, it's the right of the child. See, the if you want a correlation, the father is the patriarch. The matriarch is the feelings in the home. And the heresiarch are the children. See, and then when the children rule, folks, well, you talk about ruthlessness. It is ruthless. Because the conscience isn't developed. Even to Jonovitz, who's helped set up the police program, the cops program, community-oriented policing, he said the conscience is developed, and you can get on my website and get the quotes, the conscience is developed in the home. Well, if you destroy the home, you destroy the conscience. And therefore, you have to have lights, you know, cameras on every street corner, you got to have the police. And he actually alludes to that we will use crime to gain access into the community, and once you find that community above the family, you can do positive social change. You can destroy the family. All of over 1,000 social psychology books, these are the bulwarks, these are the foundation books for education today, all of them, I would say for the last 60 years, is all about one agenda, the destruction of the traditional home. There is no other agenda. Because according to Marx, you destroy it, you destroy God. So what Satan didn't go to after God, he went after the children. How can we create an experiential chasm, a moment where the children can decide for themselves what is right and wrong, discover their full potential, so they can be empowered? You know, when Satan got Eve into dialogue and she did the process that he had no power before then, but he became empowered. Satan needs, because you look at what Jesus said to Peter, thou savorest, when he's talking to Satan, get thee behind me, for thou savorest the things of men. Satan works through men. And he has to work through your feelings. That's why you have to deny yourself. That's why you have to take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. That word obedience is in there. It's not to Christ. It's his obedience as well, to the paradigm. And so you understand that the whole development of Bloom's taxonomy, the synthesis was how to destroy the patriarchal. The moment you go to synthesis in the classroom, you just took dad out and shot him experientially in that child. And if any child stands up and says, well, no, that's wrong, you know, the rest of the class is going to be encouraged not to associate, not to relate, excommunicate that child. And then the top is evaluation. And they haven't really figured this out yet. They say, well, it may be synthesis at the top, evaluation below. But the evaluation is, let's do what Eve did. Let's do what the woman did in the garden. Let's not do what Jesus did in the temptations. Let's not do Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Let's do Genesis 3, 1 through 6. You want the difference in the paradigms, there they are. And leaning to your own understanding, because Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's what God says. That's his patriarchal paradigm. But lean not to your own understanding. If you do, that's Genesis 3, 1 through 6. That's trusting in yourself, trusting in your feelings, trusting in man. And doing this dialectical process. Superstition, Adorno writes, indicates a tendency to shift responsibility from within the individual unto outside forces beyond one's control. Now, what's he saying is, if within you, you have these natural lusts of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life, if you get rid of God's law, they're not lusts. Do you understand the logic? If you get rid of the law, then you didn't sin. So, see, the church can do this too. You know, Jesus fulfilled the law, therefore we can get rid of the law, therefore everybody can come in and we'll just do how do you feel, what do you think, and we'll grow the church. See, God's love, his law, his mercy, and his grace are all together. You can't leave his law out. Now, is the law external? No, it's internal now. It's from within. So I have no right to judge you. I can say, here's the law, God will judge you. Here's the law, God will judge you. And then that's spiritual. That's dealing with your soul. But if I say, okay, here's the law, you didn't do it, we're going to beat you up. Use the power of the state, that's the sword, can't do that. Now, we can disassociate from you, we can cast you out if you practice adultery and you say, well, that's okay, you're out of here, you know. But we cannot punish you physically. That state can do that. By the way, when the state and the church go in together, then and the church goes dialectic, by the way, wow. Whew. You talk about Pastor James Borchardt says, you know, the moment the church and the state go into partnership, the state becomes the beast and the church becomes the harlot. Because it's the feelings now. If the feelings come in and take over the law of God in the church, it frees the state from being under the law of God. No longer is it under the authority of God, and no longer is the conscience a key element, because conscience is rigid to what society does. Now it's a super ego, which ties it to the control of the facilitator, i.e. Satan. So getting back, superstition indicates a tendency to shift responsibility, believe in God, responsibility within the individual, that's your flesh, under outside force. In other words, you have to depend upon God. They say, oh, you're in denial. I say, absolutely. I deny myself daily. He says, the ego has given up. I will. Satan saying, I will, I will, I will. And wanting every child in the class to say, I will. And everybody in the world to say, I will, instead of thy will. It gives up. Because why? Because you're being chastened by higher authority. Renounces the idea that it might determine the individual's fate by overcoming external forces, overcoming God, overcoming nation, overcoming parent, overcoming higher authority. That's what this is all about. It is, you know, these people are about health care. They don't care about your health. All they say, it's the process. It's the once you understand the paradigms, you understand what it's all about. That's the grading system. It's let's practice Satan's paradigm. Let's reject God's paradigm. Now, the paradigm won't save you. But you have to have the paradigm to understand how God speaks. God says, my ways, my paradigm is not your paradigm, nor your thoughts my paradigm. So we need to trust in the Lord with all our heart. That's where it all starts. You know, intellectually you can't do it. You just have to give up. God, I can't do it. That's what he's waiting for you to say. Lord, I can't do it. I can't go through this day. And you know what your Heavenly Father says? I know that. I've been waiting for you to say that. And give it up to him. Trust in him with all your heart. With all your possessions, everything you give it to him. Lean not to your own ears. Quit trying to figure it out on your own. And in all your ways, in everything you do today, in all your thoughts, and in all the activities of the day, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Give him praise and give him glory. And not superficially and not to impress other people, but because it's out of your heart. It's coming out of your heart. Why? Because he's in your heart. He's changed your heart. And let him be the one who directs your path. It is not in you to direct your path. You have nothing in you to direct your path. There's nothing but God. Only he can direct your path. That has to be removed for the Antichrist to rule. That's his agenda. How to remove even the remnant, even for the elect's sake. See, there comes a time where God brings judgment. Why? Because there's a time that nobody's listening. They're all glazed over when the truth comes in the room. Catch you next week.